I'm so happy I have you as my best friend.
Gentlemen, what is your definition of failing upward?
I would say failing upward is a staggering determination where you just can't give something up. Like you can't live something down. And through that determination, you somehow succeed. I'm not reading a definition, by the way. I'm trying to anticipate. Like a lot of factors at play are holding you back, but I don't know. Like, as much as everyone wants to be their own anime protagonist, do you still find, like, push forward, I guess?
If I had to simply say what I think of when I think of falling upward, I would say Ulysses S. Grant.
Oh, God. Who
That's a good one.
invited the buzzkill to the. No, I'm
Although
kidding.
Grant
I'm sure it's
was a
very historical.
success as a general, though, I would say. He was a successful general, not much anywhere else.
I
So,
mean, yeah.
not sure that really fits the criteria of failing upward, which when I think of failing upward, I think the definition of is being such a fuck up that somehow it leads to success in spite of your incompetence.
That's,
And in this
yeah.
case, I think a good cultural synonym is Tommy Wiseau in The Room,
God, forgive me.
which is such an awful movie. There is, I mean, I think one of our tasks today is to see if there's actually any artistic merit in it, but it is such an awful movie that people think I have watched it so ironically to the point where it is become ridiculously commercially and culturally significant and successful, in that it came out in 2003, was terrible, became a cult screening classic, and now is continually still running 21 years later during screenings.
I do think that when you say it's a cult phenomenon, and it is, it's not to dismiss it. I feel it's sort of one of those situations where it's like luck meets opportunity. Like you have a film that is so bad, yet so loved by everyone who watches it, not for its artistic merit, which I thought the burden of proof kind of fell on my shoulders. If you guys want to try to take a stab at it with me today, that'd be great. I mean, ideally, I'd like to go into this discussion hoping to do something different. And that something different is rather than analyzing what makes this movie so good as a cult phenomenon, which is really just the one-liners that you can extract from this movie, I'd venture to guess that a lot of people, despite hating this movie, loving this movie for its jokes, really have not little to no understanding, but little to no recollection of everything in between. We know the lines that are funny. We know the situations. We know the takes that somehow made it to this cut. I have no fucking idea why they decided what they decided. But, it was interesting when we brought up this topic last week and we were like, hey, when's the last time that we actually saw The Room? Because I guarantee you that the best scenes, i.e., the worst scenes, but are the most funny, take up like what? 6 minutes, 7 minutes compiled together? This is like an hour and 15, hour 30 long movie.
I think it was like an hour and 40, maybe. And I paid
So,
attention to that because this was
my
actually my
point.
first time seeing it.
I didn't realize it was yours. I thought it was Drew's first time seeing it. I thought you had seen it before and were just refreshing yourself.
So, very brief biography here. I still, literally, I can picture it in my mind's eye as if it were just a moment ago, being a kid watching TV, like right before I was about to go to school. And it was one of those things that I don't know why it was airing on channels like Cartoon Network. I vividly remember the trailers for The Room and sort of the edgy tone that they took in making it look more legit than it really was. And I always vividly remembered how by the end of it was that frightening gray shot of Tommy Wiseau with his lips pouting, and he's doing the like look, and he's got like a droopy eye, and it just says, "The room." And
It seems like it should be a horror movie.
it kind of, I know, there was like a thriller, like
Do y'all
a
remember
dark
the
thriller
actual
feel.
posters of like the actual billboard he had in LA? I vaguely remember seeing it
No.
in LA, driving around at sometimes. I vaguely remember seeing it. This could also just be me like manufacturing a memory, but
But to wrap my point up, like I, for the most part, never, I like growing up, I never knew anybody that watched it. I hardly knew anybody that talked about it. And it really wasn't until probably my late teens that I started noticing more people saying, the infamous "Oh, hi, Mark" scene. And then like thinking to myself, okay, what is that? And then, finally seeing reviews for the movie, people talking about the movie, referencing the movie, and we've joked about it, but and I know the whole gist of the movie. I knew the whole gist of the movie before I saw it, but then finally, after finding it the way that I did legally and safely, in my home,
What, you didn't
where
want to torrent a movie that was 21 years old? Come
I
on.
in my home where I sleep, where I come to play with my toys.
Where I sleep, where I come to play with my toys.
It's a really simple
Seb, where were
premise. A
you the
guy
first
loves a
time you
girl
watched
and the
it?
Yeah, before you go down memory lane, go down a different memory lane, please.
Oh God, I remember being in a house in Silver Lake, a couple of high school buddies, and I distinctly remember a girl was invited over as one of the friends of,
Oh no.
like one of the mutual friends of one of my friends. Yeah, we were at a house in Silver Lake. Just, I think someone was house sitting and the room was on, or maybe we found it online and we decided to watch it. She didn't like it. I, of course, had, the context going into it because of, the quotes. And that was that. We saw the movie and it was, as you so eloquently put it, Ryan, it was a movie. But it's a simple
See, I
premise.
was,
It's about a guy who
yeah.
loves a girl and the girl doesn't love him back and she cheats on him, and for all intents and purposes, the film takes place in one room. How do you mess it up?
It takes
Quite
place in more than
frankly,
one room. There's the
yeah, it
living
does. Okay.
room, there's the
Oh,
upstairs, there's the
excuse me. It takes place
rooftop,
in rooms.
there's the coffee shop, there's
Yeah.
the park, there's the flower shop, there's the trolley.
Now that I think about it, okay, we, all right, I get it. You're an actor, and you have to differentiate. I get it. If they made a sequel and called it Rooms, I would be none the wiser, but they didn't. So,
Well, how old were you when
yeah,
this incident happened?
18,
Okay.
probably
I saw it when
19. I was
I saw it when I
definitely
was,
in
I think,
college.
17. I was taking a college film class at COC because I was trying to like make my resume look or my transcript look good for applying to colleges. So I took a film class, like, hey, look, guys, I'm taking film classes. Take sent me into film school, whatever. But the professor introduced it as the worst film ever made, which is typically how people will refer to The Room. Although I will submit that there are worse films, namely Lucy, that are
Exorcist
just
2.
even worse than that. We the things we'd been shown like actual good film throughout the class. So I don't know what the purpose was for screening this in front of a bunch of like community college kids and like one high school kid. But like I think only one person in the class had actually seen it beforehand and had gone to a screening, which they did in Westwood, which was literally where I went to college. So I would just like walk down to the theater a couple of times and go to his screenings, which was great. I remember the last day that I worked at Variety, I also went to a screening of The Room where Tommy was there, and he created his Twitter account that same day while I was in the room where it happened. I was in the room where it happened. And also, like, my friend was there to like try to interview him for her for one of the articles she was writing for the school newspaper. And like his assistant thought she was cute, so he let her hang out with Tommy and him after he did the intro to the movie. And then at one point she told him, "Oh yeah, my film professor introduced me to your movie and I've kind of loved it ever since. He's unfortunately dead now." And then Tommy starts laughing, and then he stops laughing and then says, "Oh, sorry, they told me I need to stop reacting like that to things." So
Oh.
the Tommy Wiseau that you meet in real life is the Tommy Wiseau you see on screen.
Yeah.
He's just as insane.
I mean, it's weird to think that this was something that popped into my head as a child, you know, as when it came out at whatever I was, 9 years old, and then finally seeing it in its entirety as an adult. As an older adult than I was when I first started being aware of everything from the dog
Hi, doggy.
and the flowers and the football and the alleyway where the guy falls into the trash cans, because,
That's another location.
I felt like that was an important one just because when that scene happened, I thought, why did this need to happen? And then it kept going the way it did, and I again said, why does this need to happen? Now, having consumed the room and digested it, I can safely say that it's not the worst movie of all time, but I almost feel like, I don't know, there's a part of me that feels like I needed to be with other people to watch it, because when the scenes happen, the scenes, plural, there were a few times where I got caught off guard and I had to like rewind. You know, like the infamous "I did not hit her" scene. That was something that I it just it it just started, and I was like, "Oh, I know this part." And you know, so, but watching everything as it happens, stitched together. At one point, I genuinely thought to myself, "Okay, the actors in this movie, while they're no thespians, whatever." Drama that we all mined from with the disaster artist, at least for me, the movie. Matt, you've read the book, right?
The book's a lot better.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, and I even had
Like
a
the book is
thought.
actually a fascinating read.
I don't know. After watching the movie, I was tempted, but then I was like, "Nah, I'm good."
No, you really need to read it. It's so good. It's so insane.
I think if anything, I can watch the actors in this movie, and if I had to give kind of a summary sort of review, and in some ways offer, and I might need to think about it more as we talk, but if there is anything to mine from this movie, is that if you exclude Tommy Wiseau, which is impossible to do with this movie since he wrote it, directed it, and is the star, in a weird way, almost every scene features some level of not that bad acting. And then it does get bad, especially if we're talking about all the back and forth between Lisa and Mark and their affair. Pretty much anything with Denny.
I mean, Claudette puts in a pretty good performance for what she's given.
Claudette being
The mom.
the yeah, well, yeah, she's, but
That bastard Harold.
she okay. So we already broke the rule. There's one impression of the
Oh, I
room.
never said I wouldn't make any impressions. I never
Oh.
agreed to that.
Oh boy. Okay.
You know I have to. This movie was the obsession of my apartment in 2017 into 2018. So it's impossible for me not to make an impression.
Oh
It's
God.
going to happen. There will be
Oh
several.
God. But for the most part, if there is any good to mine from this movie, is that you can see some okay perform pretty okay performances. I know that doesn't sound like a good selling point of watch this movie for okay performances.
Well, now, Ryan, do you think that if it had good performances, it'd be watchable? And then this is segueing into something else.
Okay. No, because the story, I mean, for one thing, I thought I missed something. I honestly felt like an old man watching this movie, because when Lisa just straight up tells, I think it's her friend, I think it's the the friend is the first person she tells, Johnny hit me. I was
Yeah, I think her name
like,
is Michelle.
what? Wait, did I see that? Did that happen? Where am I?
But Ryan, it's not true. It's bullshit. He did not hit her. He did not. That's the point.
But it's like
She's
it
manipulative.
persists. Everyone, I'm thinking to myself, everyone is falling for this so easily, and it doesn't help that Tommy's such a bad actor that he can't convince anybody that he didn't hit her. So, and then you combine again, the editing, the music, the sex scenes that come out of nowhere. I mean, even the first sex scene,
The
I was
light, the
like, wait.
candles, the music, the sexy dress. What
Oh
is
God.
this?
Oh God. I don't
See, the
know.
reason why I'm asking though, Ryan, is because I don't know if it's been released yet. I don't know the current status of it. Last I heard, it's still planned to happen. But Bob Odenkirk and a bunch of buddies are planning on actually doing a charity stream of like a professionally produced version of The Room with actual professional actors, with Bob Odenkirk playing Tommy, playing the Johnny character. I
Okay.
don't know whether it's still going to happen. I don't know what's happening around with that, but it was announced, it was planned. I've been waiting for it. And like even beyond that cultural significance, of course, we do have The Disaster Artist, which was a pretty big deal because the Franco brothers were the ones making it. And I almost got an interview with what's his name? Greg Sestero, which was going to happen until James Franco got caught for his womanizing behaviors, and then Greg went quiet on me because he smartly did not want any of that heat to come to him or the article and didn't want to talk about it. So I can't hate Greg too much for ghosting me. But then also you have the Flash game, you have like the screenings that happen, you have the references and other material. Like it's become like iconic and legendary throughout all of pop culture. Like there are so many references to it
Yeah.
everywhere. I have a shirt. I'm not wearing it, but I have a shirt with like some of the best quotes from the movie.
Oh boy.
I want the black one that's just Tommy going, you're tearing me apart, Lisa.
You
Plus
know.
also the screenings, the cult screenings where you just throw things at the screen and shout obscenities.
Leave your stupid comments in your pocket.
Like these things are
Yeah.
planned out, and like there are traditions to these screenings, which I would highly recommend going to it because it makes the experience more fun. Like you already have seen the movie, you already know it's bad. But to see other, like to go into this with other people, it's like watching a football game at home is not the same as watching a football game like in a stadium. There's a marked difference in atmosphere and enjoyment. You're not going necessarily to watch the game. You're going to be social and do all the fun things that are coinciding with that thing. And it's like it also gives you a greater appreciation for the thing. Like for example, you look at what are they called? Rocky Horror Picture Show. I hated
Yeah.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. And then I went to a screening of it and it's like, oh my God, this is genius. I actually like this. Or like me with esports, I thought esports were the stupidest thing in the world. Then I went and I saw, like, sat in to a live, like, an actual, like, game of Overwatch League in Blizzard Arena. And I'm like, oh shit, this is actually really cool. So going to a screening changes your perception and appreciation of the movie. It
Yeah.
doesn't make the movie good, it just makes it fun.
That would be something I do down the line. I don't know, as it stands, I think of
I'll
anything
probably
else.
come to Boston sometime.
Yeah, you guys, there's a whole East Coast over here just waiting for you. And lots of chowder. I think in some way, watching it as I did, there was a part of me that was actually kind of let down. And I think, and it wasn't because I wasn't expecting, Casablanca, but because
But Ryan, it's a great American story of friendship, betrayal, relationships.
as he holds up, what is that? The website for
It's
the
the room dot movie.
movie?
It's
Oh
the
my.
website.
Don't tell me that's like the same website that's been on computers since like 2003.
2003.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, obviously it's gotten bigger and expanded since then,
Yeah.
but
But I don't know. I guess if anything, I don't know. I think if anything, I'm baffled from the standpoint of to Sebastian's point, like finding the good in this movie, like the thing that keeps it, besides again the lines and the line delivery, the
There's an
weird
infinity stream
editing.
of Tommy Wiseau's content on Twitch.
Oh no.
I think when you let the in jokes and the lines and the scenes become the totality of the movie's enjoyment, I think that's where you kind of lose me a little bit because, as much as certain media exists for people to just pound a couple brews and watch it with the fellas, all my fellas kind of thing, I'm not entirely sure objectively if that's what makes good content.
Yeah.
And it's a, like I said before, it's a simple premise. It's a premise about as old as time. Boy likes girl, girl like doesn't like boy back, girl likes other boy, and it's this love triangle that no one can find out about it until the 11th hour when all hell breaks loose. But then what's in the middle? Well, I guess a banker's descent into madness as he finds out that his girlfriend doesn't love him anymore. I mean, hell, this movie could be a poster child about men's mental health, and we would have been none the wiser. That's what it looks like. I mean, you could spin it that way. You could also spin it like, well, does Lisa really have to get away with all this behavior, this terrible behavior?
Thank you. Yeah. I know.
Like, I'm not, and, if you want to go into analyzing each and every character, like the whole shtick of this movie is that there are so many characters that, they exist just to move the story forward. They're basically MacGuffins. I mean, do we really even see Denny a whole lot in the movie besides the intro, the scene with Chris R, and then at the end, we're spoiler for over a 20-year movie, Johnny dies. So, okay, I guess in the middle, you get some context, which bringing back to my point before about how a lot of people care about the jokes and the scenes and, kind of throw away what's in the middle. On my third watching of The Room, I had no idea that like Denny was like this college kid being taken care of John. I didn't know that Johnny forked over the money for him to get an apartment.
Yep.
Like, and never mind the whole Tommy Wiseau, we don't know where he's from, we don't know what accent. First of
He's
all,
Polish, I believe,
he's
is what
Polish, yeah.
we eventually over the years, I don't know how, but at least in
He's
the
Polish.
book, Greg
He
is
worked as a.
deduced that he's Polish, and then Tommy is eventually like admitted to being Polish.
Yeah, he worked as a dishwasher in France, I guess, in like the
Yeah.
60s. That's where it's kind of estimating. You can look up Tommy Wiseau. His character,
Yeah.
we can assert that he gets all of his money from his job because,
Well,
as
he
the
gets,
film
I think a lot of
says,
his money probably, I think what
they have a,
Greg
yeah.
is postulating is that besides like all of like the side hustles he has, I think a lot of the money he has came from like being in a car accident, like a very bad car accident with like someone very rich who had to like fork over a shit ton of money to Tommy.
That being said, I really do think that there's a lot more to this movie than sort of, again, not to sound rude, but sort of people's one-track minds lead them to believe. And I would love nothing more than to get a group of like-minded people together in a room and actually look at this film objectively. It gets worse when it's an echo chamber. It's just as bad as you bring up Quiet on Set. It's just as bad as those old Nickelodeon shows where it actually has the laugh now icon. And yes, I've been on an Ellen show. They do this. They actually have cues where people are supposed to react a certain way. And it's like, yeah, if you're watching The Room waiting for those scenes, cool. So is 99% of America. Whatever he made this movie for, as long as you got something out of it, I can. Cool. Again, it's a 20-year old movie, and when it's 40-year old, are people going to be preaching about the same strengths that this movie has to offer? Yeah, probably. I mean, who cares about the plot? It's paper thin, so.
I guess one of the values of it is you can show people like what not to do when you're making a movie. Like, yes, this film just happened to be one of the most commercially successful movies of all time, but not because it was good, because it was so bad. Because like you look at the set design, it's really bad. You look at the acting, it's subpar. You look at the writing, it's incoherent. The editing, it's janky. The production behind it, there were so many ridiculous decisions made. Like everything about this movie is a how not to make a movie, and yet somehow, because some college kids back in the day thought it was hilarious how bad this was and decided to like actually ironically watch it and host screenings of it, now they have made Tommy his nest egg of money for forever.
Yeah. And I think as well, if there is anything else that can be absorbed from watching this, especially if you're somebody that is only familiar with all the quotes and all the weird, just little oddities that always gets shoved into some YouTube video at some point ever, it is all the little idiosyncrasies with Tommy Wiseau and his performance, especially the dubbing. The dubbing in this movie, there's moments where the
The
dubbing in
recycled sex scene.
oh my God. I mean, that too, that I legit thought, wait.
Aim lower, Tommy. Aim much lower.
I just remember I kept getting to a point because, again, with how I was watching it, I thought, is this like an edited version of the movie? It's not, but is it? And then on top of all of that, having you guys mentioned the point about the writing and what, how you even define this movie as a genre. And Matt, you said that, in hindsight, he's been like, oh, it's a dark comedy. Well, what in the world?
Oh, you can still play the Newgrounds Flash game online.
Okay. Is this.
I truthfully don't even think that the writing is that bad. It's certainly subpar, but if you would have had any other actor in those roles filling those shoes and maybe put a little bit more oomph into
Yeah.
it.
See,
And
that's what I was
again,
saying, Seb. I think you were gone, but it's like Bob Odenkirk is trying to make an actual like, I don't know
right,
if they're
no, I
still
heard
doing it.
that.
Yeah,
I heard
they're
that.
actually doing it.
I do believe though that I think a lot of people go into this movie thinking that Tommy's accent is the clear black sheep, and that is what's holding him back from giving an A1 performance. And yeah, it does sound like he's slurring through a majority of his lines. However, I'm not gonna chalk that up to being well, that's just the wrong accent for the job. I mean, the guy made his own movie. He could do whatever the hell he wants. Point still stands though. Is that when I look at Greg Sestero's character, hell, when I look at everyone else besides Johnny, who has like, ab about as fluent in English of an accent as you can get, and they still sound ham-fisted, that's where it kind of loses me. It's like, with Tommy, you can make an exception because he is the exception. Nobody's trying, and they're delivering their lines so atonally. And I know that I brought, I know that we're looking for the good in an otherwise black cloud, besides the apparent silver linings of haha, the jokes are funny. I will say this. Johnny is a character that I kind of envy, right? I envy his ignorance a little bit because I love the fact that despite everything that's happening to him behind the scenes, he still wants to provide for Lisa. And yeah, we get the dichotomy of Lisa talking with her mother and not being satisfied. And of course, Johnny doesn't know what he doesn't know. So, the one time that he comes home from work, bummed that he didn't get the promotion, he's not taking it out on her. And, to that scene, you know which one I'm talking about. It's Point. He didn't hit her. They both got drunk. And I don't know what kind of tail Lisa's trying to spin here.
So there's a secret
Anyway.
in the room tribute game, which I am now playing. You can go to if you at the very beginning of the game, like there's a you it starts with Tommy coming out of his job, his undescribed job at the bank. And he like Claudette needs to like be dropped off somewhere, and then Mark offers to drive her. And then if you it don't if you ignore the directions and just go to the apartment building and go into Mark's apartment, him and Claudette are naked in the hot tub in Mark's love shack of an apartment.
And it
I
says,
guess t
Tommy says,
I
that's one of six things I wish I could unsee.
I guess t I guess TLDR, I do admire the character that Tommy portrays. It's just sort of he's just sort of a guy. He could be any foil, and he's truly a product of his environment. And then he's a product of his environment, albeit ham-fisted when he finds out that Lisa's cheating on him. But shit, what would you do if the woman you thought were you were going to marry is attracted to somebody else and you caught them in the act? I mean, I'd put a little bit more effort into maybe ripping those drawers out instead of just kind of going, Other than that, the excitement is felt not only in his character, but really Tommy as an actor on set. Like you can tell when he's excited, you can tell when he's sad, you can tell when he's angry, you know, sort of the hokey, why, Lisa, why? Even the tearing me up, I could sense some pretty raw emotion behind it the best way he knew how. So I do have to give him props for that.
Well, and Matt, correct me if I'm wrong here, but from what I and again, as stated, you've read the book, I've seen the movie. In The Disaster Artist, isn't it sort of implied that he's got this thing for James Dean, and that's part of the reason why, like, that tearing me apart line stems from Rebel Without a Cause,
Yeah, it's
where
literally him
it, you
copying
know,
that.
his parents are bickering in the police station at some and James Dean's character, what is it, Jim Stark? Isn't that what his character's name is in that movie? He's drunk and he's moving around and he's shaking. And at some point, as his parents are fighting over him, he sits up and screams, "You're tearing me apart." Like, yes, he's putting his all, but there is still that, like, just what is it? The circular peg going into the square hole or the square peg, whatever. Like
Square
it's
peg, round hole.
there we go.
Sure.
It's thank you. There is an element to that that it's like, okay, you gave it, I don't know, 48% of the way. I don't know. It's and I think too.
But it's like what I said earlier. Do you think that deteriorates when you have someone like Tommy sound like Tommy? Do you think that anyone else on the cast could have gave a performance like that and make it sound more believable simply because we could understand what the other characters are saying as opposed to him?
I think, in a way, you could have gotten away with it with anyone else in the cast saying it. Just, and I say that only because there's a few moments with Greg Sestero and Steven, the guy that just shows up out of nowhere and is angry at Lisa about her, you know, affair with Mark. There's moments with the two of them where if the lines weren't so bad, like the line delivery at least pays off. The problem is that it's disembodied in terms of both the situation and who they are as a character. So when you get the leave your comments in your pocket line, like I can hear something in how he says it where I think, okay, if he said you're tearing me apart, Lisa, I'd believe him. But he's saying a stupid line in this moment. And then with Steven, same deal. You know, he is giving that raw emotion. It's just disembodied because he's just there, and you're meant to assume that he's a close friend of Johnny and Lisa and presumably Mark. So part of it is it is the acting quality, but part of it is also just the framework of the movie itself. It's so it shapeshifts in a way that just doesn't. It's not coherent enough. But there is a way where you could get all of those things in. It's like the, what is it? The virus thing from not literal virus, but like the computer virus thing from Skyfall, where they're looking at all the this big blob on a computer screen, and then Bond is able to recognize a few things, a few letters, asks Q to put them together, and it spells out the, I think it was like Granborough, and he recognizes that as a part of the London Underground, or a train station that's part of the underground, and then they finally realize what it is, and it's the London Underground. So if there was a way to shift all of that, and maybe that just has to do with getting a better writer, which is hard to do when you got Tommy Wiseau, or getting a better editor, which again, if Tommy's in charge of the editing in some capacity, it's probably not going to be so coherent. Then you could have pulled something off a little bit smoother, but otherwise, you wind up with just too much ham-fistedness and a few glimpses of something that could have been good, but ultimately was just wasted. And I will add, even though this is technically Tommy Wiseau's movie in every way, shape, or form, I would have loved a movie just about him even more so than this movie. Just because I'd love to be with a character like that that's so ignorant, but also just so bizarre and otherworldly that, yeah, why not? It's better than Yahoo Serious. Look him up, ladies and gentlemen.
He can act if given the correct role, which is why I think that he plays his role much better in Best Friends than he did in this movie. I mean, granted, you would hope the time frame between The Room and Best Friends gave him enough, acting prowess in the meantime. But, I'll be honest, you're right. I do think that you give an actor an archetype and you tell him to play it. Well, you have Tommy trying to play all of them and all of the ranges of emotions that he can, and he does it poorly because he's trying to do each and every one. Now, you get Chris R, who is only sculpted to be the angry drug-dealing psychopath, and the only words out of his mouth are that of an angry drug-dealing psychopath. He does it pretty well. Like, I could sense the emotion in that too. The gun was, again, a little hokey, and of course, we never see him again after he leaves the roof. But
He's going to jail.
he, among very few characters in this movie, I could sense actually gave a shit about the role. I could tell Denny gave a shit, his actor.
Ugh.
He's supposed to be an ignorant kid. Now, I thought he was a lot younger. Turns
Me
out he's
too.
18. He's 18. But he's an ignorant, well, I want to say ignorant, but like, come on, how can you not read the room when two adults are trying to have sex here? Like,
The
it's,
room.
Ugh.
yeah, like, okay, maybe he lacks a little bit of social awareness.
Yeah, he's going on about loving Lisa in front of her,
Yeah,
and then he hops
but
into the bed with them, and
she
then
clearly hates him.
his whole shtick with
no, Johnny
Claudette,
doesn't hate
and
him.
oh my God,
No,
Johnny
Lisa
doesn't.
hates him. Lisa hates him.
I don't
No,
blame her.
Lisa.
Stop ganging up on me!
I was gonna say, I think Lisa just tolerates it because Johnny is cash flowing his lifestyle. And again, it's a lifestyle that we never get to see other than Denny's in college. And sooner or later, Johnny's gonna buy a house for Lisa, as Claudette said in that one scene.
I have cancer.
I got the results of the test back. I definitely have breast cancer.
I think it was something to, along the lines of, he provides for you, you can't provide for yourself, you're getting married, he's getting you a house. They were talking about the house, and my brother would not agree that the house should go to me, kind of thing. And I think it was that same scene. I
Well,
don't
if you want
know.
to see what his room looks like in the game, it's a tiny little closet with photos of Lisa on the wall.
Oh God, let's see
A
this.
sensible man.
Oh goodness.
It's a sensible man, ladies and
Oh.
gentlemen. I do. Yeah, this movie has a lot more to offer than just the scenes that it does. And again, I don't even think that I'm trying to grasp at straws here, trying to find positives. I think it's a genuinely okay movie that in better hands could have been more effective in the message it was trying to portray. What that message was, I don't know. Don't sleep with other people at the expense of other people. That could be a message. Don't borrow money you can't pay back if this guy's gonna come into your life waving a gun in your face.
Don't use the same prop gun
Don't use the same prop gun
for two
when you're
different
ha
guns.
I mean, you could get a lot of life lessons out of this movie.
I think if anything else, it's the melodramatic nature of it. Like the whole time, I just thought this is so soapy and melodramatic that.
But you know what? And I hate to cut you off. I'm sorry. You know what? If they were actually aiming to make this a drama, then they achieved that. They did not fail. I mean, they failed when people thought it was a comedy, right?
Yeah.
But it's not a comedy. If you got some sort of dramatic elements from this melodrama, then they checked all the boxes and it technically succeeded.
Well, it succeeded, but I think again the melodramatic thing, I mean, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but like was it, I know subsequently has been stated it's been marketed as a dark comedy, but at the time, and yes, going on Wikipedia of all places while I saw the movie, because I kept hearing the word melodramatic in my head, like was it marketed at the time as being a melodramatic movie? I don't know. To
It
me,
was
it's
just
just.
marketed. The marketing for this movie was just Tommy putting up a billboard with the phone number to call if people wanted tickets. That's it. That was the marketing. And it was just the room, the movie. It's his idea of like a dark take on the American dream.
I mean, you can take a look at the description. The Room is a 2003 American independent romantic drama.
Yep,
Set in
He
San Francisco, the
touts it.
film is centered around a melodramatic love triangle. Exactly.
He touts it as a dark comedy now because that's the only reason anybody will watch it for the comedic factor of it. People don't take him seriously as a creator. So his goal was to make the next great American drama, and he failed, but he failed upward because it was so bad that people found it funny, which is again where I. Where we started this conversation with the question of what is failing upward, because I don't think he didn't succeed in what he wanted to do. He failed in being thought of as a serious American filmmaker. However, he failed upward because due to his ineptness as a filmmaker, people thought what he made was hilarious and watched it just because it was so bad. And
I
he
mean,
found success in that. So why not ride that? Like, I don't begrudge him his success. I enjoy his success.
either that or he has the best pivoting strategy that any artist can have. And like you can't buy that level of publicity and or marketing. Like imagine you flop, you're on the way to getting canceled because you can't show this content nowadays. Like you just can't get away with what Tommy got away with 20 years ago. But can you imagine? I don't think you can, or at least I don't think that you can do it in an era now where people are going to take it seriously with acting, quote unquote, this bad, with writing this, quote unquote, ham-fisted, but yet fail and spin it in such a way where people think that you're now one of the. Well, I mean, as Wikipedia puts it, the Citizen Kane of bad movies. Like, imagine having that type of clout. Like, that's unheard of. He didn't just fail upward, he failed and skyrocketed. Like, it's vertical, the amount of people like this movie now, as opposed to when it was released. Because I don't know, what did it garner? Like, 1/20th of the original movie budget?
Well, because he spent so much money doing
Oh
God
no,
knows what.
actually, the budget was 6 million. The box office was 4.9 million. So he was about 1 million shy of even breaking even, which, to be fair, while a failure, it isn't horrible. I remember on The Disaster Artist, like they had that little end slate, and didn't he say that he only made like a couple grand in like the first couple months?
Yeah, because people weren't watching it. He didn't. He only had like one theater showing it. He didn't have a good marketing plan. It wasn't a good film. People wouldn't have like recommended you watch it seriously. So, I mean, how is he supposed to make that money back? He spent $6 million on this nonsense.
Well, the question is, did he even need to make that money back?
We'll never know. We don't know how much money he has in the bank.
Exactly. And if he did this as a passion project and created it for the sole purpose of just being creative and having an idea, then, as past episodes of me declaring would dictate, that is my hero right there. Because he didn't do it for money. He did it because he was inspired. And I'm like, well, that's the fucking Michelangelo of filmmaking at this point. Like, again, you can't buy that level of fearlessness in an artist. Like,
Yeah.
it's simply unheard of.
Well, and I think as well, he's certainly made a niche for himself in terms of fans and in terms of people that, want him to either be on their shows or, I mean, I'm still a little bit baffled by the whole concept of best friends. I did pull it up. I don't know if you guys have any further thoughts on it. Justin McGregor directed it. It was written by Greg Sestero. But it stars Greg and Tommy. So, I mean, in some ways, that almost sounds more interesting than The Room simply because, okay, I know nothing of the director. It seems like it got somewhat decent reviews. Just off the subject matter alone, it looks vaguely interesting in a Bukowski kind of way, but is that even worth it, Matt? Best friends?
I'm so happy I have you as my best friend.
Have you seen it?
I've only seen the first half of it because it's part one and part two.
Oh,
Yeah.
God. Okay. It's not 6 hours
Seen
long
it.
like Dune,
It's
right?
not bad.
Okay.
I did see Dune last night.
It's a movie where Tommy plays the role beautifully because you've come to know Tommy as a bit of a weird guy. So they put him in a weird role. He's a mortician. If memory serves me right.
Yeah,
So,
he is.
I can't think of a more one-to-one role for a guy like Tommy Wiseau.
I think if anything, the good thing about Tommy is his ability to like roll with the punches because, I mean, he's playing a role that makes him look like a goon because people think he is a goon and he's making money off of that. He turned it into a black, he calls his film a black comedy because no one will take it seriously as a drama, and so he'll roll with that.
Looking back on this, like, I'll put it to you this way. Am I excited to ever see this movie again? I could probably go another 29 years without seeing it. Well, less than that, because I was 9. So another 20 years without seeing it. At the same time, to Matt's point, if I was in a theater with a bunch of other people that were all saying in unison, it's not true, it's bullshit, I did not hit her, I did not.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Similar to how they kind of do it in The Disaster Artist when they're reading him the line. Okay, I'd probably have fun with it, but as it stands, it certainly makes me feel better about some of the weird movies I like, that's for sure.
Yeah, I can certainly say that, doing so, involving yourself in that kind of community, like it's fun to feel like you're a member of the, like the old boys club. Like, oh, you haven't seen The Room yet? There's this funny scene. Actually, there's like eight of them, right? But that in me stops when it's like, again, these scenes become the totality of the movie. And for someone who actually wants to watch the movie as bad as it is, but legitimately wants to get like an understanding of the other 90%, it gets a little bit tiresome. And I don't know, like in my quest to find objectivity and even the smelliest of turds that grace the silver screen, like you got to get to the meat is great. But you got to get to the potatoes every now and then. You got to get to the other stuff. I'm very thankful to have watched this movie when I did, when I was that young. Yeah, a victim of the catchphrases that this movie spewed out. 8 7 8 years later, watching it, well, watching it again in the interim and then watching it in preparation for this episode, it did give me a fair amount of respect for what this movie was doing. And really, the beauty is in its simplicity. I can see someone taking this movie concept and running with it just because it's like you can mold this concept again, a tale as old as time into literally anything. It doesn't have to be in San Francisco. He doesn't have to be a banker. Hell, Johnny could be the one cheating on Lisa if they ever make a remake or a revision. I don't know. I mean, this movie is constantly evolving, and so is the community. But I think the quicker we stagnate into just repeating these jokes ad nauseum, the quicker we realize that there's a lot more to this movie and there's a lot more to Tommy than meets the eye. And like I said, he's better in other roles. So give credit where credit's due, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he were to revisit this in some capacity or if he did. I certainly respect the fact that he hasn't looked at the sequel craze of the last. I mean, let's face it, the sequel craze preceded the Room. But I'm at least glad that he hasn't turned around and been like, oh, here's my new movie, The Rooms, or here's my new movie, The House. Or the other sequel, The Windows, to borrow a joke from Sebastian. Fine, I mean, and obviously with a movie like this, how do you do a sequel with Johnny unless you, I don't know, basically say, oh no, he lived. Oh no, he's fine. I don't know. I mean, he'd find some cockamamie way to be like, oh no, he just had a headache. You got me, and if anybody could create it, Tommy Wiseau could. I think if anything, my reaction to this movie overall was just, eh.
It didn't make you burn villages in effigy. Like, the movie wasn't that bad, people. It's really not. It's really not that bad.
Well, and I think again to the marketing, and again I'm solely focusing the marketing of that point when it came out. And again, what I vaguely remember from The Disaster Artist is that is the mixed signaling of how the movie was marketed and then the final result. And I think it's a consequence of the time that it came out and both of those conflicting factors because, frankly, there's a lot of stinkers that come out nowadays. And I think if The Room came out now, honestly, if The Room came out now, I think it would have been buried by everything else. I think, in some ways, to the whole point of failing upward, he should feel blessed that this movie came out when it did, because it was coming out at a time where, yeah, of course, there were bad movies now and again, but you also had other big hits coming out in the early 2000s that easily pants this movie, but the fact that this movie had the notoriety that it had. Even then, with the marketing, with just the weirdness of it, like it's ever all everything about it is so weird, like in the truest sense of the word, like in the Hunter S. Thompson capital W weird. It's something that I think ultimately made it a success. Whereas now, I mean, again, when you hear that there's a new Tommy Wiseau movie. I don't know. I don't know how many of his fans or maybe his fans, it's one story, but like your everyday person who has an understanding of The Room or Tommy Wiseau. If I ask my parents, they don't flippin' know what any of this stuff is. Then again, they also don't even know who Ben Shapiro is. Ha wish I could be them. I don't know. I kind of look at it like that was his moment. And yeah, there was the reinvigoration because of The Disaster Artist, but I don't know what it would take for him to explode in such a way, or if he ever could.
Like
So,
nowadays,
yeah, nowadays, yeah.
I don't think that he would really need to bother trying to make. I mean, I guess if he's constantly chasing that high of trying to make another Room, I don't think he'll ever do it. And that's evident because of his pivot into, making best friends. It's like a radically different concept. That being said, though, I think that if he did explore other avenues, other types of stories, he may find success in it. I don't know. Again, I think he needs to cast himself very carefully. I think Greg is a little bit more malleable.
Yeah.
And hell, this could be like a dynamic duo of just, I was gonna say like Pinky and the Brain, but honestly, they're both Pinky as far as I'm concerned. I don't think there's one person smarter than the other in terms of like who's really manning this ship. I really do think that it is a team effort through and through. And at the end of the day, if these two are really best friends off camera, just doing what they love, I mean, like, vaya con Dios, Godspeed. That's more than what most artists can say. But then again, most artists have a limited budget, so wins and pick your battles here.
Matt,
So, yeah.
you end this discussion, really. It's not really a review, it's just a discussion, I guess.
Favorite line from The Room.
Oh, man. Hang on.
I'll go first. Keep your stupid comments in your pocket.
Oh, I hated that line. Oh, God.
Anything where he's chirping like a chicken, that was pretty good. Not my favorite line, but like my favorite, I guess,
That
onomatopoeia.
counts. That counts. Cheep, cheep,
Yeah.
cheep, cheep.
He did it twice and once in a serious moment. And I'm like, this is it. Give him the Golden Globe at this point. Anyway, Ryan, go ahead.
I'm literally like just going through lines that I think if anything, the line that still gave me the most reaction besides the Oh Hi Mark scene, I think it had to have been the how is your sex life line, because
I quote that line regularly.
again
I can't tell you, it's confidential. Anyway, how's your sex life?
it's just folks, we were talking about Harrison Ford before we
What, you
started.
don't ask that on a daily basis?
No, I don't. But
Wow.
oh yeah, I'm sure you're going around asking Mauricio and other guys from days of yore, Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I
Hey.
have brotherly love and you don't.
Oh, we were talking about Harrison Ford before we started recording, and he had this great line that he gave to George Lucas about the script for Star Wars, where he said, "George, you can write this shit, but you can't say it." And it just, again, it was just over my head when knowing it was supposed to come up at some point in the movie, and then it does, and I was like, oh, that was it. That was the line. So that always sticks with me out of all the, along with his, don't touch me, and like the chicken, the cheeping, yeah, the cheeping sticks. But anyway. All right, boys,
What a podcast episode, Ryan.
Haha, you invited all my friends. Good thinking.
Right, let's cheap our way
I
out of
love that.
this episode.
Cheep, cheep, cheep,
Cheep,
cheep,
cheep,
cheep,
cheep,
cheep,
cheep,
cheep, cheep,
cheep,
cheep,
cheep,
cheep,
cheep,
cheep,
cheep, cheep, cheep,
cheep,
cheep. Mars on Life is a podcast co-hosted by Sebastian Shug, Ryan Mancini, Andrew Martinez, and Matt Fernandez. If you like this episode, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite shows, as Mars on Life is available on Anchor, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, Audible, Spotify, and Podchaser. Find us on Instagram at Mars on Life Show to keep up with the latest news, episodes, and gratuitous updates on the Red Planet. Have a question, comment, or request? Email us at marsonlife@gmail.com, and we'll promptly get back to you. This show's artwork, titled Happy Mars, was drawn by Zachary Erberich. Our show's regular intro and outro music is Space Explorers by the one and only Kevin MacLeod. Thank you for listening, and always remember, if you keep going, you'll make it to Mars.